All right, if you will, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. This is in the midst of a parable. The Lord gives a parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And we're going to look at this and make some applications. Verse 11, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me thy portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And so he wants his inheritance now. He wants to go his own way and do his own thing. And essentially he cared very little about his father. To ask for your inheritance would almost to be say, I wish you were dead so I could get all my property. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here today, and we're thankful for those that you've brought here. And we pray that your word might sink deep in the places that you would have it to sink, and maybe plow some soil in hearts, and Lord, begin to arrest attention about the direction that we may be headed, and to get back on course, to have this word of God be as a compass to us and line us out, and Lord, if there's sin and changes that need to be made, may they be made today. If there's commitments and determinations, may they be made today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're very familiar with this passage. A number of years ago, I preached the entirety of this passage, but we're going to take it in a little different light. For all you children that are here today, I'm going to give you a heads up. Next week is Father's Day. And of course, I doubt seriously if I'm going to be preaching next week. So I want to get a head jump here on Father's Day. And I want to preach to you about the proper image of a father. When it mentions the father in this passage here, of course, it's the Heavenly Father, the illustration of this whole parable. But it's absolutely not a little insignificant thing that God wants us to view him as a father. In Psalms 100, it says in verse 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And so the father figure is related to God. In Proverbs it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. And so God, Jehovah God, is compared to a father. We've just got through with a whole series and part of that prayer And we looked at the model prayer. And, of course, it begins by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Later on in that passage, it says, For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And so there is, whether we like it or not, there is a direct correspondence between how we view fathers of this world, our own personal fathers, and how we view God. It's affected. When God wants us to see Him as a Father, the only point of reference that we have is our own fathers. And so it's very vital that we consider some of the teaching that the Bible has concerning fathers. It can be a problem. When a father is too authoritative in his life and in his being a father, and he's concerned with complete control and complete obedience, when he's not interested in opinions or ideas or desires, when he's intent on things that are going to be done his way or no way, when he's characterized as being very strict, then don't be surprised if from some of those homes, kids grow up to be rebellious against that attitude. If a father is abusive, if he inflicts emotional and physical or sexual pain, if somehow he destroys his child's sense of worth, and a child can't trust him, if a father somehow would cause his daughter to view intimacy in only a physical sense and not emotional and spiritual, then that abusive father and that influence can cause difficulties and make a person very vulnerable in relating in a proper way to God the Father. When fathers are just kind of distant, you know, they come home and they expect when they get there to the door to be open, the house to be clean, the food on the table, and when he gets through, he goes, sits in his easy chair, and the kids are there, say, "Go, it's time for you to go to bed now, go on, get to bed." And he shows very little or no affection to his children. If he rarely, if ever, demonstrates any emotion towards his children, if he never has any interaction with his children, if he never displays any interest in what their child is doing, they come up to you and they draw a picture and, you know, it looks like a Rorschach ink block and, you know, and they're saying it's an airplane and you say, oh, come on, we can do better than that, or what is that piece of junk? You better not do that. You better take them in your lap and say, man, that's the greatest picture I've ever seen of an airplane. That's what you said it was, wasn't it? Airplane. Well, he needs to show some interest. And if a father cannot, if he has no affection and he has no way to demonstrate emotion and he doesn't interact or display interest in his children, then the idea of a heavenly father is one who has no interest in me. He has no affection for me. He could really care less about who I am or what I'm doing. If a father is unavailable due to work or divorce or death or remarriage or just abandonment, then that can influence a child to think that, you know, that God the Father is someone out there. He's up there. Yeah, He created the world, but He really has no involvement in my life. Well, all of those distort the picture, and I'm simply talking to you this morning, and all of you that are ladies, you can just sit back and forget this message, and it's all for the men. No, don't do that, because at times in our lives, the man may not be present, and from death or from abandonment or whatever, and those times, we need to take an example of Timothy, whose mother Lois, his grandmother Lois, and his mother Eunice took him and taught him properly, and Timothy became to be one of the great missionaries of the Bible in accompanying Paul, and Paul being very, very confident that he could leave Timothy at any place and that he would carry on the work. And so here in chapter 15, the father of this parable is one in which I think we could see, though it's a parable, there's some very great principles. What we can see is a good example for every man this morning, whether a father or a prospective father or an uncle or whatever. This passage is going to help both grandmothers and grandfathers, mothers and fathers, potential fathers and children. And we're going to have a concept of God found in this passage. And so let's look at this and let's see how the Father is displayed here. And let's determine in our heart today to follow the example. First of all, I want you to see that this Father was approachable. The Bible says in verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' And he divided to him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey in a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He's just being a bum. He's being a fool. He's being stupid. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father.'" And so when he came to a point of need, when he came to understand that he was lower than a snake belly in a wagon's rut, when he came to understand that he had come to the end of his rope, the first thing that enters into his mind when he comes to his senses, the Bible says, when he really sits down and he sees where he's at, what his condition is, where he's headed, what the bottom line is, he says, "I will arise and go to my father." Why? Because he knew that his father was approachable. He knew that he could go to his father and have an audience with his father. We don't really know the family history, and again, it's a parable, but we don't have any mention of a mother here. Perhaps in the parable, the mother is out of the picture by passing away. The father seems to be left alone to rear the sons. There's no indication. There's also an indication here that it was a very rich and well-to-do family. And this younger son, as we've noted here a couple of times, he wanted to travel. He wanted to see things he'd never seen before. He wanted to get away from the restrictions of that confined life on his daddy's farm. He dreamed of great tasks, but he found great temptation. He dreamed of adventure, but in the end he found nothing but agony. He dreamed of prestige and being able to cut a big swath, but in the end, instead of prestige, he found poverty. He dreamed of romance, but in the end, he wound up in rags. And he dreamed of happiness, of doing things and going places and being special. But in the end, he found himself in the hog pen. Now that he's completely failed, now that his life is a mess, now when he comes to his senses, he says, "I'll arise and go to my father." See, he knew this, that no matter what happened, no matter the sharp words, no matter the hurt that surely his father felt when he said, "I want my inheritance now," basically saying, "I wish he was dead so I could get all my property." No matter the great disappointment that he knew he had done to his father, there was one overwhelming thing that set in his mind. "I can always go home if I have to go home. I can always go home." Are you approachable, Daddy? Can your children come to you? Do they feel like they have an audience with you? Could you go home? Are you approachable? On this day before Father's Day, as we examine our lives, lives of especially you fathers here, but prospective fathers, it's not about all the rules you can lay down. It's not about, you know, whether they did what you told them to do. I mean, that's part of it. But can you go home? Can you come back to your children? Listen, your children are watching you. They know you. They know what you think. They know if you're approachable. Are you the first one your child thinks about when they're in trouble, or the last one they think about? Men, and you prospective fathers and you fathers, you need to be approachable. Can your children come to you about anything? I mean anything. Now, I think part of life, just to be truthful and honest, part of life when the children are little and mama's at home more, they go to mama because mama's there. But there still ought to be the understanding that mama can send him to daddy and he's approachable. And it shouldn't be somehow that mama has to cover up for daddy. She has to, you know, smooth things over. She has to kind of sweep things under so daddy doesn't know about that because, you know, he's not approachable. That shouldn't ever be in a home. Mama shouldn't have to go around being undercover, covering up for daddy. You ought to be approachable. That a father needs to be approachable just as our Heavenly Father is approachable. You paint a picture. When you cover up things and overlook them and sweep them under the carpet, you're telling your children, listen, we can't approach God openly and honestly. We need to kind of, you know, avoid it and push it aside. But a father needs to prepare his heart. He needs to work at being approachable to his children. That the door always needs to be open. That even in the busiest moment of the day, when your child comes knocking, when your child needs you, you are available. That you are approachable. Can your children come to you? Have you made yourself available? Over and over in the Bible, we find that the God of the Bible is approachable. In Isaiah, he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money. Incline your ear and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant." And so God says, come. Matthew says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy labor, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 19 says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. May our children never, ever have to say, oh, I would love to go home. I'd like to go home. I'd like to have a relationship, but it's impossible. My dad will never understand. He'll never forgive me. Listen, you men that are fathers and potential fathers, the only thing that our children can relate to in a teaching about a heavenly father is their earthly father. And I know that we're not perfect. And we sometimes need to say, this is not like your heavenly father is, like I've acted today. Don't put that off on God. But are you approachable? Can your children come to you? I worked with a man who left his family years ago, and his daughter and him were at odds, and the relationship is very strained. And he told me the other day he heard from his daughter. Now he's hurting. He wants to, you know, be around his daughter. He wants to be a part of her life. But all the time when she needed him, he wasn't there. And he wasn't approachable. Perhaps today, just as a Christian, as a child of God yourself, perhaps you're here today and perhaps when you relate to the Heavenly Father, you come across in your mind and your heart, where is my Heavenly Father? Perhaps you have sin that you've confessed and you've forsaken it and you've desired to flee from that and not be involved in that again, and somehow again that sin has risen again and the old ugly head has risen up and you find yourself in the midst of mire and muck and deep in sin again and you don't know what to do. I've been there and I've done that before, and now I've done it again and again and again. But I want you to know this morning that God's approachable. And if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us the sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He bids you come. He instructs you to cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Oh, listen, I don't care how far you've drifted as a child of God. Know this, that you can cast all your care upon Him, for He does care for you. God cares for you. Like the prodigal son. Maybe you're here today struggling with sin. Like the prodigal son, you need to come to the point and say, I will arise and go to my Father. Sin undealt with only can bring destruction. You need to deal with it. And know today that God doesn't stand with His arms crossed, tapping His foot, waiting to say, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. You deserve what you got. You reap what you sowed. And yes, we reap what I sow. But let me say to you again, out of the bottom of my heart, God is approachable. We can go to Him and confess our sins and ask for help in the time of need. And He won't rebuke us. He won't condemn us. He won't laugh at us. And so the first thing I find in this passage is that this Father was approachable. Secondly, this Father was spiritual. And I know that, again, it's talking about the illustrations about God the Father, but we're turning it around the other way and talking about our earthly Father, who the God the Father should example. We should example the godly Father. And He was spiritual. This man was a spiritual man, this Father. And we might say, now wait a minute. How can you say a man is spiritual if he loses his children to the world? If his son wants his inheritance, he just goes off and he lives a life of wickedness, just spending it freely, coming to where he wastes all of his living and all of his money. After all, the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And we are to train our children. And it's not the job of the Sunday school or the public school, but it's our job. Now, if a man loses one of his sons for a time, does that mean he's not a spiritual man, that he's not a godly man? Was this man godly? I mean, look at the fruit of his life. One of the sons at home, and one of the sons has gone and he's wasted his living with riotous living. But let me say to you, parents, that there are some limits when it comes to our children. And if you're here today and you want to blame a single thing on your daddy or mama, I'd like to talk to you after church. Maybe some wall-to-wall counseling. A father can give you life, but he can't live it for you. A father can teach you things, but he can't make you learn. A father can give you directions, but he can't be there to lead you by the hand. A father can allow you freedom, but he cannot give an account for the freedom that you take. A father can take you to church, but he can't make you believe what's taught in the building. A father can teach you right from wrong, but he can't make a decision for you concerning right and wrong. A father can buy you a beautiful garment, but He cannot make you beautiful inside. A father can offer you advice, but he can't accept that advice for you. A father can teach you to share, but he can't make you unselfish. A father can teach you respect, but he can't force you to show honor to those about you. A father can advise you and warn you about friends, but he can't choose your friends for you. A father can advise you about sex, but he cannot keep you pure. A father can tell you the facts of life, but he can't build your reputation. A father can tell you about drinking, but he cannot say no for you. A father can warn you about drugs, but he can't prevent you from using them. A father can tell you about great goals and lofty goals, but he cannot achieve them for you. A father can teach you about kindness, but he can't force you to be gracious. A father can warn you about sin, but he cannot make you moral. A father can love you as a child, but he cannot make you walk with God. A father can teach you about Jesus, but he cannot make Jesus your Lord. A father can tell you how to live, but he cannot give you eternal life. And it seems very obvious in this passage that the father did his job. He did his job because his son knew that he had a problem. And the Bible says that when he comes to his father, he's going to say there in verse 18, "I'll rise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." You see, this man was a spiritual man in the training of his child, because this young man knew that his father wasn't the problem. This young man knew that his bad luck wasn't the problem. This young man knew that ADD, attention deficit disorder, which means simply you need to get a bigger paddle and spank a little more. But attention deficit is not the problem. The fact that he was in hunger and social services didn't come by and say, "Listen, here's your food stamps, go get some food." That wasn't the problem. It wasn't a problem. The problem wasn't that, well, he's sick. You know, he's addicted to sex. He's addicted to spending money. And you understand, I'm sick. I'm addicted to it, and it's a disease. No, his father must have been spiritual, because when he came to the end of himself, he realized this: I have sinned. He made no excuse for it. Why was he able to say that? Because his father had taught him some things. And he taught him that what he was doing was sinful. He was a spiritual man, and that he held the line. He didn't try to cover up for it. He didn't try to make excuses for it. Fathers, we were laughing this morning because one of Nate's girls were up there putting a smooze on him, and she was wanting something, and her eyes were, you know, getting those little dove eyes, and she was hugging up close to her daddy, and the smooze was getting put on. And that happens. And we want to make excuses for our children. We want to cover it up. We want to say, "Oh, they're just being kids." But listen, this father, when it came to the reality of where this young man found himself, he was able to say, "I have sinned." The problem today is children are raised and they never come to the conclusion of the real matter. The matter is that we're born into this world sinners, and that a child's sinful nature must be dealt with in the proper way. And you as fathers cannot let that go. You that are prospective fathers, you that are mothers that support your parents, you grandparents, you've got to identify sin as sin. We need to be spiritual in this area. We need to be holy in this area. We need to identify sinfulness in our fallen children. And the Bible says a very outstanding statement. It talks about in the Proverbs about giving your child a spanking and saving his sin from hell. It's not saying that when you beat a kid, he's just going to escape hell, but it's saying that a child needs to understand from a spiritual daddy that sin pays consequences in spankings. And God's going to condemn man to hell if he doesn't repent. We need to be fathers today. Listen, the need of America, the need of our society, the need of our church, the need of our world, the need of the North Star Borough is for fathers to be the fathers they need to be, that they can be approachable, and that they're spiritual men, that they're not going to compromise, and they're not going to quit, and they're going to identify sin in their ugliest child and sin in their most desirable child. And of course, all my children know that they're beautiful. But sin needs to be identified. And spirituality needs to be held in the home. When Israel was at a very critical time, they come in and they conquered the land, and the people were scattering out over the land, and they were settling in, and they were planting their fields, and this piece of property was belonged to their family, and they were beginning to be prosperous. Joshua called Israel before him, and he gave a great speech, and he told them, listen, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods on the other side of the Jordan, or are you going to serve the God of the Bible? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Whether a father says that vocally or just in his life, the children need to understand, in my daddy's house, my daddy who is approachable, my daddy who is spiritual, my daddy who I could always go home to, no matter how far I've drifted, I wandered far from God, the song goes, now I'm coming home. Listen, that you can go home. That kind of father needs to be a father who says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And to not compromise, and to not quit. Listen, my father wasn't perfect, and I've not been perfect father, but one of the constants was this. That we're never going to deny God. I could always go home, and I could always know that my father was going to stay where he always stood, being rock solid. Our faith and our lives must be built upon solid ground, on a solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand, and a father needs to convey that. He was approachable. He was spiritual. Are you spiritual? Are you worldly? What comes in? What comes into your home? What comes in through the TV? What comes in through the grocery bag? What comes into your home? Are you spiritual? Listen, there's one thing about being spiritual, and that is this. The preacher can be fooled. I've been fooled. The church can be fooled. They've been fooled. But I'll tell you one that I can never fool, and you can never fool. You'll never fool your children. They know you like a book. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? Now listen, we're not talking about a happy home here. That's part of it. We're not talking about living a good life. We're not having, getting all the bumps smoothed out. We're talking about eternal destiny of your children. And daddy, if you're not saved and you're acting like you're saved, they'll read you like a book. You need to be born again. Listen, you cannot and you will not be the father that you need to be. You will not and cannot set the example of a father that relates to the Heavenly Father unless you've done business with God concerning your sin. Who do you think you're fooling? I don't know what that song's about. I just remember the line. You ain't fooling nobody. You're not fooling God. You need to be spiritual. And then the third thing I see here in verse 20, the father He was compassionate. He was compassionate. Verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here he is. The father is not standing there tapping his foot. Boy, I knew you'd come back someday. I knew you'd come crawling back. Oh, his father saw him. And his father had been looking. And he sees him down the road. And he runs down the road to meet him. Don't you know the joy that flooded in his son's life when he saw that his dad wasn't coming with the club? He runs to meet him. And he grabs him. And he falls on his neck. And he squeezes his son. And he doesn't even let his son say, "I'm not worthy to be your child." He cuts him off. And he calls for the fatted calf. And he calls for the robe. And he calls for the ring. And all that's a great sermon. But he's compassionate. A father is compassionate. And I realize that some of us are more emotional than others. But listen, love isn't just caught. You know, I'm sitting over here, and my wife says, I'm sitting over here and, you know, looking at my computer, or you know, the Predators are playing Penguins today, and you got to see your hockey. And my wife says, Gene, do you love me? What? Of course I love you. Don't you know I love you? Well, compassion needs to be not only said, it needs to be showed. And he showed it. His heart overwhelmed, and he ran down the road and grabbed his son. A father needs to be compassionate. Too many men think it's not manly to weep, and I'm not saying all should weep, we're different. But Jesus wept often. And I hope my sons are never able to tell me that they are never afraid to tell me that they love me, and that I'll be able to tell them that I love them. I talked to Toby this week. He graduated from college. And Toby's not where he needs to be. But when he ended, he said, "I love you, Dad." And I said, "I love you, Toby." And he says, "I know you do." It sets the door. It sets the door for recovery. You need to be compassionate. You need to reach out. We can be so religious. We can be so spiritual, our church can have all these standards, and we can be so rigid that these standards must be met and be met and be met, that you have no compassion. I'm glad when the Lord looked out on the multitude and he saw him as sheep scattered, that they were drifting away, that they were lost sheep, that they were rebellious sheep, that they went away from God, that God was moved with compassion. That your children need to see compassion. That a father ought to be able to express his love. How long has it been since in word or deed you've communicated your love for your children? Do you kiss them? Do you embrace them? I don't kiss Amy because she's always got makeup on and gets all over me. Do you kiss them? Do you embrace them? Do you reach out to them? Thank God that this father reached out to a broken-hearted son with compassion. Let us never forget that our Heavenly Father is a God of compassion. Yes, He must judge sin, but He's a God of compassion. So great of compassion that He sent His Son to die in our praise. After discipline, what do you do with your child after discipline? Listen, it's love. Just get this in your mind once and for all. That God, Bible tells us in both in Psalms and in Hebrews that A loving God will discipline his children. But then it brings about the peaceable, Hebrews says it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And after that child has been spanking, and hopefully you do give spankings when they disobey, because it's paving the way for them to understand their Heavenly Father, that he requires judgment against sin. But then, do you then take them in your arms? Do you tomato stake them to you? Do you have them by them? Do you look at them and say, listen, what you did was wrong, but I love you, and I want you to grow up to be a man of God. I want you to grow up to be a woman of God. Compassion. In this world where the only kind of love that's known by most children is erotic love, there's no deep agape, giving, surrendering, sacrificing love. Our children need to know compassion. I would say to you that probably well over 50% of the fathers today, it's all about them. And they're not going to sacrifice one thing for that little girl or that little boy. No compassion. This world has gone upside down. And we live in a day when God wants us to set the pattern. God wants us to see and show to the world that his way is the right way. The Father was a father of compassion. He was a father that was spiritual. He is a father that was approachable. In closing, let me simply say to you that this parable, primarily, we've taken a secondary meaning today, but primarily it was about the lost coin, picturing the lost person in this world, the lost sheep and the care for the sheep and how they're rejoicing in heaven over one soul coming to God, and the lost son. Perhaps like the son, you cared for yourself in relation to God. You really, when he asked for his inheritance, he's saying, you know, I wish you were dead. And essentially in your life, I wish that God was just dead, that he'd just leave me alone, that I'd just go on with my life, that what I conclude is right, and what I conclude is wrong, and not to have any of these restrictions upon me. But God brought him to his senses, and God loved him, and God was approachable. And we've tried to cover that also in this message today, that you can go to God and God will save you. But as we bring this to a close, I know there's I'm picking on a few fathers today, but that's where it needs to be laid. Are you? Are you approachable? Can your wife approach you? In your life, listen, this ain't about being approachable. McCandless got married yesterday. He's with his wife today. And Ron's approachability didn't start yesterday. It should have started a long time ago. Am I approachable? Am I honest? Do I try to pattern myself after God? Are you approachable, men? Are you approachable, ladies? This applies both ways, at least on this approachability. Can someone talk to you? Are you approachable? Can your children approach you? Are you spiritual? Again, let me say to you that you can fool me, and you can fool the church, but you're not going to fool God, and you're not going to fool your children and your wife that you live with every day. You can try to. But let me tell you with a surety that my wife has seen the bottom dregs of my life at the worst moments. And your children will see you at the worst moments. And the only thing that can change that is a personal day-by-day relationship with God. Are you spiritual? And are you compassionate? As a father pitieth his children, do you pity your children? Do you understand who they are? You can't get your children saved by your lifestyle, but you can sure confuse them and get them to turn from God by your lifestyle. You can prepare the way. You can prepare the ground. You can plow that soil in your child's heart that when the seed of God is given, it plants in fertile ground. You can prepare the way. This afternoon, I'm going to hope all of you bring notes, something to take notes with. I'm going to talk to you about leading your children to the Lord. There's a number of children in our church that are getting at an age where they need to be talking and thinking about being born again. But we can prepare the way. And so as I bring this down to close, and I'm trying to find a good way to wrap it up, simply is this, is that in my own personal family, with Susie and I, one of the greatest men in my life was my father. And one of the greatest disappointments in my wife's life was her father. There's much that lies at the feet of you men. And I hope as we close this out that you're man enough and big enough to bow your head and say, Lord, I cannot do this job myself. I need your grace. I need your help. And all of you others here that aren't fathers, and maybe not even potential fathers, you ladies, man, our men need a backup core. They need support. They need for someone to come along and say, just keep at it. When I was going through some rough times, some of the greatest things would be when one of you church members would come by and say, Brother Humphrey, I'm praying for you. I'm with you. Just keep on pitching. Just keep on keeping on. You see, when the home is destroyed, there's a great void left in our society. Quit ye like men. Stand up and be a man. Determined to be approachable. Determined to be spiritual. Determined to be compassionate. And maybe when this message is over, you need to go over. I'm going to go to Amy and give her a big hug and kiss her and say, I love you, Amy. And pull back my chin, it got hit. But maybe you need to communicate with your children in some fashion, in some love language, that I love you. Let's pray.